Good afternoon. You are joining We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
There. Are you happy, Bill?
I'm always happy.
I did it the same way twice.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we've got two fun topics for you today. Kind of similar in an odd way, I suppose. You could make the connection. We have Brad Steiner on first, and that's going to be a lot of fun. We're not really sure what he's going to tell us this time, but it's continuing our discussion of self-defense, but the kind, like I like his quote on here, when your attacker absolutely positively must be stopped immediately.
And not get back up.
And not get back up. No, that's just implied. We added, we added that part. But you know, with everything that's going on these days, this topic becomes more and more and more relevant, and I think more to the forefront of people's thinking. We're no longer walking around, you know, idly thinking everything is fine. It's, you know, coming to a town near you. If it isn't there already, I know ours is starting to look a lot like Thunderdome.
Yeah, it is.
It seems like everywhere you go is looking a lot like Thunderdome.
I think I saw Tina Turner on the way into the building today.
Just say no to midgets, huh?
Yeah.
All right. So, it's not even 10 after. We've already talked about Tina Turner and midgets. And then the second hour, we have Brady, and I think it's Grenier, but I really forgot to ask him how you pronounce it. But he is with BioCore RX, and that is a pharmaceutical company, but moreover than that, it's a recovery program. It actually has the ability to stop the opioid crisis. It's a medication that makes people ill when they take opioids, you know, or use heroin or anything of that family. Also, if they drink. And it's something that instead of a pill you take every day, so they decide, well, today I'd rather get high, so I'm not going to take my pill. It's actually implanted and releases slowly. So it'll go for 4 to 6 months. So that ought to be kind of an interesting deal. Hope you stick with us for that. So swerving back, we will go to self-defense. Professor Bradley Steiner has written over 30 published books. He's the founder and grand master of American Combato. He's the president and CEO of the International Combat Martial Arts Federation and an elite and prestigious organization and internationally recognized close combat, self-defense, and martial arts authorities. And this is my favorite part, actually. I should put like a little star by this one in his bio. He's the former president of the International Stick and Knife Fighting Association in Berlin, Germany. I know, suddenly, you know, you see all the movies in the back of your mind. He's the former Washington State Director for the American Society of Law Enforcement Trainers. He's written numerous magazines, American Handgunner, Combat Handguns, Security Soldier of Fortune, and Cavalier. He's taught special agencies and teams the art of combato, and the teams have specially written manuals created by the professor himself.
That's right.
And there's tons of information. I hope you will join us on the web at some point in time and share it with your friends. We are at wethepeopleradio.us. You can find all of our contact information and, I don't know, archives stretching back into the great beyond on pretty much any topic you can name. And we save them all commercial-free for you for speedy listening and sharing. If you're a Twitter user, please share it on Twitter. We get most of our listeners from Twitter. I don't know why that is exactly. Facebook's a good platform, but seems like Twitter is more engaging. All right. Without further ado.
Now expanded to 280 characters.
I know. I never use it, though. It seems
gauche. You never use it?
No, it seems gauche.
Yeah.
You stop yourself.
Now you're blowy.
Yeah, you stop yourself. Yeah. It's just crazy. So, Brad, what's happening today?
Hi.
Where are we going
to
go?
It's wonderful to be on your show. I was looking forward to it all week.
Well, thanks for being with us.
What I was hoping to discuss a bit was the problem of self-defense for the senior or elderly person, the senior citizen, who unfortunately seems to be getting targeted more and more in the major metropolitan areas. I think it's important that people who are seniors understand not only that they could be targeted and how they could be targeted, which they can learn in a good instruction program, but what to do about it, because many people believe after they pass the age of, 40 or 50, there's just no way they can deal with somebody who's in his late teens or 20s who attacks him, most particularly if there's more than one of them or if they're armed. The truth is, of course, that they can defend themselves, and they can do it quite well, and there are many instances on record where it has been done. There are certain specifics that I like to get across to those who are senior citizens, and being one myself, I'm over 70, so I'm in that category. It's important to understand certain principles. They're not necessarily unique to the senior citizen, but they are very important for the senior citizen to address and understand very, very specifically how importantly they apply to him. Probably the first point is to be very realistic about it. Anybody born in the 1930s, 40s, and possibly even the 50s is probably bewildered and offended at the behavior of many individuals who are of later generation. The rudeness seems to be a part of the way people are brought up almost. It's just common everywhere. It's almost like it's cool to be rude.
No more respect your elders.
The matter is, often a senior can become offended or incensed by that and just feel like speaking up and putting this young idiot in his place. That's a mistake, because you have to use common sense. If you are in your 60s, 70s, or 80s, you don't want a confrontation with someone who just might turn violent. Even if you know how to defend yourself, discretion is the better part of valor, and avoidance is always self-defense technique number one for young or old, but it's particularly important to understand you don't want to precipitate a situation by expressing the fact that a person is misbehaving. They probably don't care. I've never yet heard of anyone being called to account for bad behavior and saying, oh my goodness, I really shouldn't spit on the sidewalk. I really shouldn't mark up this property. I really shouldn't be doing this.
You're right. Using
What's
the finger is bad, my mom
care.
Told
That's
me.
Why they do it.
No, you're absolutely right.
It's true.
If they cared, they wouldn't be doing it in the first place.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I give you the finger? That's not the finger I meant. I don't know. Yeah, it is a little bit weird. These days, it seems they're... I don't know. The decorum is...
Oh. Sorry, you can give me the finger, just don't touch me with it.
Well, the idea of being rude doesn't bother people anymore.
I like that one, Bob.
No, you're absolutely right.
It is offensive to anyone who was brought up to be a lady or a gentleman, because it's just not a part of the way we interact civilly. But it is part of the way many people of the later generations, more recent generations, do behave. And violence, since it's rarely, if ever, adequately punished in our society, has become more and more considered okay. I'm angry, I feel upset, so I'll punch somebody, or I'll hit somebody with a stick, or I'll pull a knife. And this goes on all the time.
That's true.
It's not true of everyone, but it certainly happens often enough so that people who are concerned about self-defense, most particularly those who are seniors, understand that avoidance is smart, and they're not going to get anywhere by attempting to teach courtesy to people who have chosen to live more like wild animals.
To the unteachable.
I also think it's very important that weapons be considered, and be considered as the primary means of self-defense by those who are on in years, most particularly those who may be coming to a study of self-defense very late in life. People who have been training all their lives, well, they can probably defend themselves very well. One of my old teachers, the late Charlie Nelson, was able to defend himself very well right up until he retired. As a matter of fact, he was teaching self-defense from his wheelchair after he closed his studio. If you've been at it all of your life, that's one thing. But many people take a course, they start late in life, and weapons are an equalizer. Obviously, I believe you should have weapons legally. I don't think anybody should carry, for example, a firearm illegally. But definitely, people who are seniors should give serious consideration to acquiring, first of all, proper training in safety and gun handling, and then combat training, and then buy a gun, have firearms available as often as you can, wherever you go. Obviously, there are places where you can't carry a weapon, but you should be armed. You need an equalizer, and weapons are tools of self-defense. They enable you to carry out the task of protecting yourself or your spouse or your friend much better than you would do with your bare hands. There are weapons other than firearms, such as knives, although in the West they are considered weapons of the bad guy. They are not really. A knife is a very good weapon. It carries a tremendous psychological advantage. Nobody wants to be stabbed or cut, and they're convenient to carry. A walking stick, with a few hours of instruction, a person can do very serious damage with a walking stick and hold off two or three attackers with relative ease, providing they don't have firearms or other weapons. I think elderly people also should avail themselves of the latest security procedures and methods. Alarm systems, for example. Many people don't think of that until after they've been burglarized or after their home has been violated. But having an alarm system is always a good idea. This is something that a lot of people just don't want to think of. It can be a bit expensive, but I think for the peace of mind that it buys, it's well worth it.
How do you feel about dogs?
Okay, hold on one second.
I love dogs to begin with, and that was one of the things
break,
I
Bill.
Wanted to mention.
Me.
That dogs are not only marvelous deterrents to crime, they can be with some of the larger breeds, like of course the German Shepherds, the Doberman Pinschers.
So dogs in sweaters probably not so
Rhodesian
much.
Rhodesian Ridgebacks.
Darn it.
These breeds are intelligent and will be very formidable adversaries to an assailant. Small dogs can be valuable as well. They could be alarm dogs. They will
got a couple
bark,
of those.
Sometimes scare off intruders. Then there's the companionship. A dog is really a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a good dog, a large, strong dog, you're really walking around with a living deterrent to violence.
That's true. Pick the person with the dog or not the dog. Definitely not the dog.
Yeah.
We got to take a really quick break. We're going to come back with our guest, Brad Steiner.
And I'm going to run out and take the sweater off of my dog in case I get in trouble. He'll be a little more intimidating.
Take the sweater off my dog while you're at it.
Yeah.
They're out there covered over by blankets wearing sweaters in the car. Obviously a huge deterrent. Not Brad's theme song.
No.
Well, kind of. Because if you can get away without fighting about it, I guess it's better.
Mm. Walk away a winner.
Exactly.
Yep.
Okay, so dogs, sticks. I just want to point out, Brad, by the way, dogs and sticks, they do go together. Bill's dad, in his later years, became masterful with a cane.
Yes.
He could hit the dog from,
oh
I don't know, 10 yards out.
Oh, sure.
He was unbelievable. So, I mean, even though people, he had all sorts of health problems, too, but he was swift with a cane. Swinging it, I mean.
So, so you're a believer in a well-trained dog?
Oh, yes. I love dogs. They're very reliable defenders of the home, certain breeds, and they're wonderful companions. I certainly would advocate dogs, and providing, of course, you could take proper care of them. A very important thing that I would emphasize and do emphasize if I'm teaching someone who's on in years is to abandon compassion, mercy, and human feelings when they find themselves in need of self-defense. There seems to be a tendency, by some fluke, I was never afflicted by it, for older people to develop much more compassion and sensitivity toward wrongdoers. And that can work against you. When someone attacks you, they are to be treated with the same mercy that you would treat a polio virus. They are attackers, and it is very dangerous to hesitate to do something or to do something that is inadequate to stop the person. Sometimes an older person might feel they don't want to hurt this youngster too much. Well, the youngster doesn't seem to care too much about hurting the older individual, and self-defense requires that you take a no-nonsense approach and be pretty aggressive and pretty vicious when you must defend yourself.
Yeah,
with this, of course, it's necessary to learn destructive and simple techniques. Now, in our system, American Combato, that's all we teach. But there may be people living a distance who will be enrolling with some other teacher, and if the techniques are not simple and destructive, they won't be repeatable under tremendous stress.
Mm.
And if they aren't, then what's the good of them? You may learn techniques that look pretty. You can learn techniques that seem to work effectively when you are practicing them with a cooperative partner. But the techniques that you use when you're attacked by someone who is younger and stronger and bigger than you are have to be pretty vicious. They have to do damage. And I don't see any reason to apologize for this. I don't really care what happens to a violent attacker. But to counteract what might be in some older citizens a tendency to be compassionate and merciful with an assailant, I want to make the point that that is, in effect, cooperating with and assisting the attacker. You have to be aggressive. For example, somebody is blocking your path and somebody wants to rob you. You put your hands up in a pleading gesture, please don't hurt me. And then suddenly, with your hands raised, you ram your fingers forward into the person's eyes. Now, that sets him up to have his leg broken by a low kick or for you to access your weapon. But this is the kind of thing that you should be ready, willing, and able to do. If you think you're going to get somebody wrapped up in a hold or pin him and bring him to the police station,
never.
You're crazy.
Yeah, it's never going to happen.
It doesn't work for a young, strong person. It's not going to work for someone in his 70s and 80s who has just now taken to the course of training in self-defense.
Yeah. I think that only works in TV.
You know, that's really good advice. My father was in law enforcement his entire life, and, you know, he basically always taught us the same thing, was that if you have to use violence, use it in a fashion that puts your attacker in enough pain to where they don't want to fight anymore, or they'll back off and leave you alone. But you have to deploy that immediately, or you're going to get hurt. And I think what you're saying is spot on.
Yeah. It's very sad that this even has to be addressed as a subject. When you think about it, the quality of a society in some ways can be judged by how the very young and how the very old are treated. And in our society today, pardon me, unfortunately, you see hideous abuses of the young, and you see hideous abuses of the elderly. Well, there's one thing in the New York Daily News just the other morning. This veteran, literally dying in a hospital bed, was asking for help, or he was thirsty or something, and the attendants in the hospital were laughing at him.
Oh, my gosh.
Now this, to me, is inhuman. And this is in a hospital.
Right.
So if a hospital worker can sink to the level of pure scum, then you can imagine what those who choose to be predators can sink to and how they might treat people. It's a very serious problem. It can be dealt with, but it has to be dealt with appropriately and decisively. It isn't necessary for a person to train to get a black belt. It isn't necessary for a person to learn many hundreds of techniques. It isn't necessary for the person to be of inordinate strength. But it is necessary that the person acquire an attitude whereby he is without, or she is without, mercy or compassion for an attacker, and is ready, willing, and able to use skills that are brutal.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I advocate and have been advocating since the 1970s methods based upon what was taught during the Second World War. And these were war-proven skills. They were taught to people who, in many instances, had no familiarity with violence at all and needed to be taught in a relatively brief period of time before they were sent off to a war zone. In the street, you are at war when somebody attacks you. And it is imperative that you understand that so that at the very moment you are attacked, there's a minimum period of astonishment and shock. You cut it to a bare minimum, and you react as quickly and as ferociously as possible. This is the real world. This is what you need to do if you're attacked. It's very similar to these lunatics who start trouble on airplanes.
Hmm.
They should just be stopped without mercy and instantly. And in some cases, that is true. They are being stopped that way, as they should be. You have to recognize the degree of the threat. There are people who get maimed and killed when the attacker's intention is not to do that, just because they fall and hit their heads or some other accident occurs during the course of an attack and they are severely injured or they're killed. There's no reason to hesitate when you're under attack, and most especially if you are on in years, perhaps not in the best of condition. Maybe you have some health problems. You can't slug it out with some punk in the street. You have to finish it quickly. Weapons is the best way, but obviously you can't always have a weapon, and you should have confidence in your hands and feet. And this can be acquired with relatively little trouble. It just takes an attitude, and that's a very important part of self-defense training, to imbue that attitude in every student, young or old. It's just, I wanted to mention this particularly for the senior citizens, because I've noted in going over some news reports throughout the country, this is becoming an increasingly difficult problem. And it's a disgraceful problem, but we have to face it. It needs to be addressed.
Do you think people are more I guess, more vulnerable in a large group setting or by themselves? I mean, I guess instinctively you'd think, like, being by yourself, getting caught, you know, on a street by yourself with somebody who was coming after you. But a lot of times in these, you know, kind of big city atmosphere, you get a whole bunch of people there and people wind up watching and not helping.
Yeah.
Does it help reaction time at all?
I would say that what that phenomenon indicates is that all of us need to understand if and when we are under attack, we are on our own.
Hmm.
At least until the police arrive, and they're not going to get there until after the fact.
Yeah, because I
think
you're
on your own.
Yeah, there's a larger.
Well, there have been cases where people have intervened, but not enough.
Right.
And then again, there is. It's not 100% the fault of those who fail to intervene, since this is we're lawsuit crazy. People
right.
get sued. People
yeah,
get into
that's
trouble
true.
For doing the right thing. And they're afraid of that. They're afraid of that.
Yeah, there's.
But
there's,
I'll tell you, I think if I saw a police officer under attack, if I saw an elderly person under attack, I'm going to stop whoever it is attacking that person.
Well, if I'm ever under attack, I hope you're there to see it, actually, because I think that would be kind of awesome.
There's a certain sense of responsibility, I think, that we all need to have. And that is, if we want a safe city or town or wherever we live, we really have to take it seriously when someone is violated. And we have to, in certain ways, watch out for each other. If you notice that your neighbor's home is being... If there are people hanging around his home, it's being... checked out, call the police, let them check it. If just be aware that there's somebody in the world besides yourself, and show some concern for the safety of the community. In very large cities, that's almost unheard of.
Yeah.
I know I come from a very large city, New York, but it's a difficult situation, and I think individuals should take a greater sense of, I'm not going to let this go on.
Yeah.
If I see it. If somebody is violating someone, I'm not going to let it go on. Now, that doesn't mean you should jump in whenever you see two people fighting. That can get you in tremendous trouble, and it's a stupid thing to do. But if you see two or three teenagers, and this has happened, you see two or three teenagers pushing an elderly lady around, this is not a domestic squabble.
Right. And you would hope that most people would be, aware enough that they would do something, but you hear all the time about how they don't.
People are afraid to get involved, and, they'll go call for help, but I don't want to get in the middle of it.
I'm going to take you down right now, Bill, because we have to take a really quick break.
Not putting yourself at risk. Oh, no.
I'm going to go put Bill in a headlock and try that out, see if it works here.
All right, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to put my guard up.
I'm still trying the headlock. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back with our guest, Brad Steiner.
All right, bring it on, sister. Here we go.
So much younger than today,
I never needed
anybody's help in any way.
Now
these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured.
Now I find
I've changed my mind and opened up the doors.
Help.
The ultimate self-defense song.
That's right. Hey, Brad, I got to thinking, what about... like improvised weapons, you know,
like car keys,
things like that.
Well, the use of improvised weapons should accompany all self-defense training. For example, I do that all the time. I teach people how to use virtually anything at hand, and virtually anything you've got in the vicinity can be used as a weapon. The important thing is to think of these things in terms of weaponry. An object can be used to stab, to cut, to hit, to strangle, as in a lamp cord. It can be used to distract. If you have a magazine in your hand,
shiny object,
and it's not rolled up, don't waste time trying to roll it up when someone's coming at you. Fling the magazine in his face. If it's rolled up ahead of time, it can be used to jab into the throat or into other body parts that are vulnerable. This is a good weapon. And this is integral, and it should be integral, to any good course of training in self-defense. There are no rules here. Just because your opponent does not have a weapon in his hand doesn't mean, A, that he doesn't have a weapon in his pocket, or B, that you should limit yourself and not use a weapon against him.
Right.
How do you feel about running? How do you feel about running? It seems like whenever,
if you can.
It seems like people who fall down and old people aren't very good at running.
Running away is that, generally speaking, violent offenders will target you when they've got you in a position where getting away is not feasible.
That makes sense.
They will follow you, or they'll monitor your activities, or just approach you because you're in a vulnerable position. And it's, running away is a great thing to do if you can do it. Sometimes you can't run away because you're with a companion who can't run, and you have to stay with someone who depends upon you for protection. I'm all for avoidance. I always tell people our priorities are this: avoidance, preemption, and then counterattacking if you've been too late and an attack has gotten through. But avoidance is self-defense technique number one. And not only running physically, but if you can, and you're dealing with someone who is verbally trying to provoke you or who is clearly immature and out of control, you can sometimes disarm this person and make it clear that you're really not worth fighting with. You could tell the person you have a health condition. Say anything. You don't owe honesty to a nut. I'll just tell the person, you just got out of the hospital. You have a heart condition. Please don't bother you. Now, if he says, I don't care, and he attacks you, you certainly got the element of surprise in your favor, because you should be doing a pretty good job for a cardiac patient if you know what to do.
Yeah. But they won't expect it.
Lying beats running.
Yeah, yeah.
That actually makes sense. I didn't really think about that. Do they care? It seems like a lot of our people these days are, obviously different technique for this kind of stuff, but God, a lot of these people are just on drugs, you know? They're not lucid criminals.
There's no reasoning with them, and that's, I think,
you can see the
what Brad's saying is so true. I mean, these people are dangerous, and you're going to really be hurt.
Whatever saves you from harm.
Mm-hmm.
And this, of course, is techniques that teach you what to do. It's also attitude that teaches you how to view things. And it's behavior that sometimes contradicts what comes naturally.
Mm.
It's very easy, for example, if you're on the road, you're driving along, and for whatever reason, another motorist becomes angry at you and they make some rude gesture or scream at you. It's very easy to gesture back, to follow that car if they speed off. But all of that's very foolish. So the person made a gesture. So he said something. Who cares?
Right.
The sooner he leaves and the sooner you get out of there, the better. You don't want to deal with a person like that. On the other hand, it also has to be clear, and this is really one of the things that I emphasize with students, once someone endangers you, once they make it clear that they intend you harm, it's time to act and act fast. And you need to understand that means attacking the eyes, it means attacking the throat, it means breaking someone's leg, it means doing things that are very, very destructive and that you normally would never think of doing to anybody. But this is not normal. A situation like this is not normal at all.
Yeah, I think in most people's lifetimes, this would never happen.
A woman is at a tremendous disadvantage if she's dealing with a man who intends her harm. And the very second that this guy puts a hand on her, if she doesn't know who he is, he has no business doing that. She has got to assume that this is a serious situation and get him off of her and then get out of there. She's got to do that. She can't rely upon nice words or gentle moves. If a situation is starting to become serious, it requires a serious solution. If you're out with your family and a couple of punks approach you and you can't avoid them, you can't walk away, they're not going to leave, and you realize that they intend you harm and they initiate a physical action, well, you have to stop them decisively. And this is another thing, something that's very popular in the martial arts today and which is utterly useless, is the idea of pain compliance, control holds, and submission holds. This is for competition and sport. In some cases, the police have need for that. But this has no place in serious self-defense. What stops a serious attacker is massive shock to the central nervous system or cessation of breathing. Now, that's very drastic. It sounds extreme, and it is extreme. And that's what a person has to learn how to do to cause in an attacker. Now, I'm not only talking about a senior citizen. I'm talking about a teenager who gets jumped by a few punks or anybody else who is facing an attack and feels that he is in danger or she is in danger. Violence is not something to be played with. A lot of the skills that are taught with political correctness in mind. And as far as that goes, I can't even use the kind of language I'd like to criticize political correctness. It's outrageous to impose such lunacy upon a person who's concerned about his or her safety. Politically correct my foot. You do what you have to do. And if your neighbors don't like how you defended yourself, that's their problem.
Yeah.
You do what you need to do to defend yourself. An attacker gets what he deserves. There's nothing forcing a person to initiate violence against a victim. Nothing. This is a chosen act, and when it's chosen by someone, it has to be dealt with and dealt with decisively.
Yeah, that's... I think that's really
well. All these things are ramping up. We're seeing it ramp up in our communities, and I think this is. I mean, I'm what 56, so I'm not. Am I actually a senior citizen? Do I count as a senior citizen?
I think so. Yeah,
in some circles, yes.
In some circles, yeah. Okay. So I'm a senior citizen, and I do. I think about it. You know, do I go to the post office now? Well, you know, it's after dark. We have a lot of homeless loiter around the post office, and I'm not exactly shrinking violet. But I do curtail my activity depending on the time of day, depending on where I'm going.
Well, you have situational awareness, and I think that's something we could probably hit on a little bit is people have to be much more aware of their surroundings.
And, you know, your towns are changing. That's
dangerous enough going to this downtown post office in the daytime.
Yeah, I know. That parking lot there's become a problem.
You're certainly smart to use discretion, for example.
You just don't want to go there. Hey, Brad, we have to take a really quick break.
Get gas for your vehicle at a crowded, safe station
daytime.
In broad daylight.
Yep. Or the one by your house that's totally deserted, like ours. There's nobody within miles, which is great.
You want to make sure that you use common sense.
So uncommon these days.
If you see police lights flashing down the block, don't go down the block.
Exactly. Yep. We'll be right back.
Well, I hit him hard right between the eyes, and he went down, but to my surprise, come up with a knife and cut off a piece of my ear. But I busted a chair right across his teeth, and we crashed through the wall and into the street, kicking and a gouging in the mud and the blood and the beard. I tell you, I've fought tougher men, but I really can't remember when. He kicked like a mule and he bit like a crocodile. I heard him laugh and then I heard him cuss, and he went for his gun and I pulled mine first. He stood there looking at me and I saw him smile and he said, "Son, this world is rough and if a man's going to make it, it's
got to
be tough."
That's a good theme song for you, Brad. Uh-oh.
Hello?
There he is. I was going to say, that's a good theme song for you. And
the immortal Johnny Cash.
And he ends victorious. Before we were so rudely preempted by capitalism there, situational awareness. People, you think old people are better at it than young people? You know, with all the phones and the distraction?
I think it's an individual.
They get lulled into submission?
I don't think that you can generalize. I really don't. I do know that it's an important thing to address in training, though. And by the way, there's one other thing I really would like to emphasize for anybody, and that is, it's difficult to imagine that anybody can't see the value of learning to defend themselves. But people tend to procrastinate in actually taking steps to do it. That can be a very serious mistake.
Yeah.
If you identify that this is something that is of value, if you agree, learn. Take up self-defense. Learn. Take some steps to learn. Find out what you need to know before you need to use it. It's too late to learn how to defend yourself once you're attacked. And the process of learning effective self-defense is not the same as the process of becoming a competitor in martial arts or a classicist who trains 3 or 4 hours a day. It's a matter of simply learning basic fundamental skills that have been proven in war to work, and acquiring a sufficient amount of skill in using them so that you have the confidence that should an emergency arise, you're equal to it. But don't procrastinate. If you believe that it's a valuable thing to learn, learn it now.
Hey, Brad, in our last couple of minutes, give people some information about your classes and how they can... We kind of assumed that everyone listened to previous shows we've done with you, which is wrong and bad. Give them a little promotional on what they can do from home.
Well, people can learn from me personally. Either I give 6 classes a week in Seattle, plus private instruction 7 days a week. I also have a DVD course that is very comprehensive. People can use and learn at home. It was prepared with techniques shown very carefully and clearly and slowly so that anyone can learn them just as though there was a teacher present. But whether or not you come to me, I'm not the only good teacher. I think I'm pretty good, and I know my associate teacher, Mark Bryans, is very good. But it's important that people learn self-defense. And if anybody is interested, they can, may I give my phone number
yes,
here?
Yes, please. Whatever you'd like to give them.
It's area code 206-523-8642. And you can call 24 hours a day. Just leave an alternative number or numbers where I can call you back. Very often I'm not able to grab the phone when a call comes in because I'm busy teaching or doing something else. But I'll call you back.
Give it to us again, Brad, real quick.
Sorry?
Give us the number one more time, please.
Sure. Area code is 206-523-8642. And I've got all sorts of
perfect
mental conditioning programs available on using self-hypnosis. We've got technical training and on DVDs and... If you want to learn, the opportunity is there. And I just urge people, don't procrastinate, because in an emergency, there's no time to learn anything.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Professor Brad Steiner. We've got all your information on the website. We look forward to hearing from you again.
Thank you, and please have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too. Absolutely. You're listening to We the People. We'll be back for a second hour here. Hope you'll join us. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.